Football coach Jim Maskell. I'm Pete Stein, and glad you could be with us for the Stain Gang podcast this week. And Midwestern State football is off to a great start, having to play their first three games away from home and going 3-0 after a win over Angelo State last week. And coach, I got to think that the coaching staff, the players, everybody associated with Midwestern State football right now is brimming with confidence. Is that the feeling?
Probably. You know, I'm more concerned with what we're going to handle ourselves than I am with our confidence. You know, our preparation and actually being ready to play the next game.
And that had to be a concern going into the game in San Angelo on Saturday. You had just beaten Commerce in this come-from-behind win that created a lot of buzz. And then you got to turn around and play another quality opponent. And I know that had to be a concern going into that game. How did you overcome any overconfidence or the feeling of maybe being, you know, too big for your britches?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. we talked about going forward, and we talked about what's next. And that was I think every day that's what I said. We're going forward, and what's next? And the coaches, every time they talked, it was, and that was a concern then too as well. And you know, now that this is an exact opposite of where we were a week ago, or the last 2 weeks, is that we're now the ranked team, and we're playing somebody that's not ranked, and coming into your house would like nothing more than to get them back to 500.
You've got Eastern New Mexico coming up, and I want to talk a lot more about that game, but I do want to spend a little bit of time looking back. And I don't really know where to start with the game at San Angelo, because all three phases contributed for you. Let's just start right there. As a head coach, it's got to be great to see the defense making contributions, the offense making big plays, and special teams making a difference.
Yeah, we got started a little bit faster this week on offense, and we didn't get started as quickly on defense, and it took us a half to regenerate. Now, the difference between this game and the Commerce game is that every time in the Commerce game, four out of the five times that they scored at Commerce, there was a big play involved. This time, there was a 54 and a 53-yarder that they didn't score on that play, but it set up a score. One of them did. And there was only two of them, where in the first two games there was, you know, a whole bunch more.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the I was just going to say, on that opening drive, you get a turnover, and looking back on it, it seems like that was a big play in the football game, getting that early turnover and getting a chance to take the lead.
Yeah, that was that got us jump started, and you know, you would think that after that we would be a little bit stronger defensively, but they came right back and scored their next series and ended up 7-7, and then we finally got another score there, and then they got then they picked up another score right before half, and that had me concerned, because I think it was 4 minutes to go in the first half, and we went 3-and-out on our own territory. We might even been on the 10-yard line, and we got a decent punt, I think, and then they had 4 minutes, 3 minutes to come down and score, which they did, and they took the lead. What was it? Was it
17-14, I believe, at the half.
At the half, yeah. And that drive, I thought that we got tired and they wore us down a little bit. But when we came out in the second half, you know, the offense had three big plays right away. And that was in a result touchdown to go up 21-17, and then the defense stopped them right away and made it, I guess, you will, easier for everybody else after you got a big stop like that. I think defensively, we just held them the whole second half. I don't know what the total yards was in the second half, but I know that, that defensively, that they, and offensively, they both made some real good adjustments that contributed to our success in the second half.
Right now, you're leading the Lone Star Conference in your fifth nationally with a +6 turnover margin. When you're talking about taking the ball away, recovering fumbles, getting interceptions, do you view those as lucky plays, or do you see it as something the defense is doing to force these turnovers?
Well, I think the first turnover, there's a lot of luck in everything you do. You know that. the first turnover that we got on that first drive is that, you know, if I remember right, the receiver running back was running across the field, and the DB came from the opposite direction, or linebacker, and he just, you know, land blasted him, and then all of a sudden the ball pops out, and if you look at how we recovered that, we do practice on Tuesdays, what we call Turnover Tuesday, where we practice all the phases of the deep. The D-line even gets a chance to catch the ball, but we practice stripping the ball. We practice recovering the fumble. We practice putting the ball back in the field of play. All the different scenarios that could possibly come about in trying to get the ball back. And so when it comes time for reaction, in those situations, whoever recovered that fumble, I'll tell you here in a minute, because I've got the play-by-play out here. You could see him up in a curled position. It was recovered by Mo Perkins, and you know we slide into it. And we cover it up. And by sliding, it allows us to get there a little bit quicker, and it allows us to cradle the ball and get into a fetal position. But that's something that we practice. And so all of a sudden now, when it comes time to do it, it's not the first time that they've been exposed to it. Dylan Davis's two interceptions for touchdowns are, you know, there's probably a lot of luck in that. I mean, there's not many teams that return one for a touchdown, much less the same guy that returns two of them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's already got the. I think he's already tied the school record for interceptions returned for touchdown.
Yeah, well, that's hard to do. I mean, no matter, you get an interception and you can drop it, and somebody could strip it from you, and then you got to run away from everybody and get in the end zone. And you're 60 yards away, that's not an easy thing to do. So there's probably a little bit of luck involved in that. But, if I'm not mistaken, we have not lost. Like last week, we didn't have a turnover. I don't think we've had a turnover in 3 games. Well, we have two. We have two. Jalen March, freshman running back, lost one against Commerce. I think that's our only turnover. Is that correct?
Yeah, that seems right to me, Coach. And I was also going to say, you're outscoring your opponents in points off turnovers 31-7. So, I mean, it's great to get the turnover, but it's even better when you're able to score off that turnover.
Well, you know, last Thursday night, our topic was sudden change. And sudden change is when the offense turns the ball over, and now the defense has got to come out and stop them, or the defense gets a turnover, and now the offense has got to come in and score. And we talked about if we were to turn it over, the other team is, you know, probably fired up. The defense, their defense is tired. Let's go. Let's attack them. And our defense is saying, maybe, you know, why did this happen? You know, this is a lousy break, and But then the reality of it is that it's mindset. And it doesn't make any difference what defense is called or what offense is called. It's the mindset. And this was our topic of conversation last Thursday. The mindset is that I've got to go out there and I've got to get my teammates and we got to rally. And it doesn't make any difference where the ball is. If we got to go 99 yards to score or if we got to go 1 yard to score or somewhere in between. And the more that we put our mind to it, that we're going to go out and have success, the better opportunities that we're going to have. And because bad stuff happens all the time, and it's just a matter of how you respond to it. And we talk about that every day, about that in real life, if whether it's breaking up with a girlfriend, or you get an F on a test, or your car gets run into, or your computer breaks down, or you don't get your test in on time, or your paper, you know, all kinds of stuff that happens. We try to relate that to real life in the game. And that's the reality of it. It's a sudden change. Something happens that you didn't expect. And so, what are you going to do about it? You're going to sit back and cry about it, or you're going to sit back and say, bull up and let's go get it, and we're gonna get the ball back, or we're gonna put the ball in the end zone, and you have to have that mentality. And it's really the first time that I had that. We've always talked sudden change, but I didn't go into detail about the feelings and why and how come and what each unit's got to do. So I think we've done a good job of that on both sides of the ball.
The other thing you're doing to kind of demoralize opposing offenses is you're getting to the quarterback, and you've got a lot. You're among the leading teams in the nation, fourth in Division II in tackles for loss. So you're putting the opponent behind the chains. So the defense is doing a lot of good stuff out there for you right now.
Well, you know, it's coming second half, and our defense in both the Commerce game and an Angelo game in the second half, we were more aggressive and we attacked. And our defensive ends, you're right, they're putting a lot of pressure. We're getting some sacks and putting them in a long yardage situation and makes it easier for the coverage when that's when you know that the pass is coming. I think our defensive ends are getting pressure on the quarterback and hits on the quarterback, even though maybe that they're not sacks, which takes a toll on the quarterback as the game wears on. And I thought in the, and I don't know if we mentioned this or not, but in the Commerce game, our two ends, just, even though they were going up guys that were much bigger, had more weight, but I think we wore off their tackles. And wearing their tackles out really helped us as the game wore on. And our two DMs, and Malik Owens and Kareem Abdul, Jalen, Kareem Abdul, they're just playing so hard and so fast and so aggressive that they're overcoming their lack of bulk or weight by being so aggressive. And they're bouncing around. They're just, I mean, their effort's been tremendous.
Man, that is an interesting point, Coach, because you've been so much better in the second half, only giving up a little over 100 yards per game in the third and fourth quarters. And it never dawned on me that you might be, your guys are wearing out the opposing offensive line. That we keep talking and thinking about it being something in scheme, but you're winning the battle physically is what I hear you saying.
Well, I think so. You know, we're undersized, but we move fairly quick, and you know our secondary is starting to grow up. We were better in the second half against Angelo, and we were better again in the run the second half. And we like I said, I thought the coaches did a good job of making adjustments and on both sides, offense and defense, and it produced points, and it produced tackles for loss, and it produced turnovers, and it produced sacks. And a lot of that has to do with your athletes, but a lot of it, particularly the way we stopped the run in the second half, was because they were gassing us, you know, in the first half. And then I just felt like that we made some really good adjustments that helped us in the second half. And
Well, and the thing you did offensively that I found interesting was you beat Angelo State with the long pass. And I remember talking to you after the Quincy game, and you told me you felt like you could run on every down against Quincy. So it looks like you've got a team that you can attack the weaknesses of a defense, whether it's running the football or throwing the deep pass.
Well, we had a tough time running the ball against Angelo. They bottled us up pretty good. And, we felt like we could throw the ball, but we also thought we could run the ball better than what we did in that game, and we weren't able to. And that was the adjustment that our coaches, I thought, made at halftime, is that we decided that we could throw the ball a little bit more and still try to keep Mamas, you know, running the ball. But I think we only got like 2.9 yards per carry and a total of 58 yards rushing. If I remember that right, yeah, net yards rushing 58, 32 tenths, 1.8 yards, I'm mistaken. But we gained 74 and we lost a few, and lost 16. But passing wise, you know, Dylan hit five different receivers for touchdowns, and there were some schematic things in there that we did. And, you know, I think you and I may have talked about this, but for sure with the team, once you get in that momentum, it's hard to stop. You know, we got up 21-17, and then I think the next one, if I'm not mistaken, was the 76 yarder. Let's see, our first possession we scored in the second half, and that was 86 yards. Our second possession, we went 4 for 17 yards. Our third possession, we went 3 plays, 9 yards. And then the defense got a tackle for loss and a short punt. We got the ball on our own 10-yard line, and maybe 12-yard line. We went 88 yards. But we had a 3rd and 14, overcoming an unsportsmanlike conduct call and a holding call in the same play.
Yeah, I think you were 2nd and 28 at one point during that drive.
Yeah, and then we narrowed it to 14, and then we came up with a big play, 76 yards. That was huge, and that broke the back. And I think the next series, our offense gets a sack and recovers a fumble, and then all of a sudden we're up in sudden change offense. The ball's on the 38-yard line, and 2 plays later we're in the end zone. So now all of a sudden it goes to 35-17, and it's at that point I think that they realized the game was over.
So did Kylan Harrison make that catch, the juggling catch in the end zone?
Yes, he did. He got at least one of his feet down, and I know that the official that made the call was at the goal line, and Kylan was at the back of the end zone, unless it was a line judge that was on the side. But he did, you know, from our perspective, yes, he did make that. He made that catch.
Well, we're getting pretty used to seeing him in the end zone. I think he's got a touchdown reception in all three games. And you kind of mentioned this earlier. You have more than one guy. I know in the Commerce game, you completed passes to 10 different receivers, and I don't think anybody had more than 2 catches. But you've got several guys, including Kylan and Juwan Mason. You've got some big play receivers.
Well, I think you got our protection going into that game was. There's many different looks and different ways that they had attacked the running game. They did the same in the passing game, and we only gave up 1 sack and a few pressures. But our quarterback, Dylan Sterling Cole, is getting better every week. I mean, I think the more he plays, the better. There's so much more room for improvement. And he studies the game, and it's important to him. And the one that he hit Juwan Mason on, Juwan was I mean, he's looking all the way to the right, and then all of a sudden he stops and pulls up and just turns his head and throws about the same time. How he knew Juwan was back. And Juwan had really put a great move on the corner. He stemmed him up and head and shoulder faked him outside, and the guy bit, and Juwan was wide open down the middle. And, you know, big plays really take the wind out of your sail, whether they're running plays or whether they're pass plays. And that's what we have tried to work on defensively, because there were big plays in the Quincy game. There were big plays in the Commerce game. And there were two big plays in this game, like as I mentioned earlier. But they only scored on one of those two big plays. Now, I'm talking about huge plays. I'm talking about, right, you know, 54 and 70 and 76. That, you know, the 23s, you can live with those. So you don't like them, but you can live with that. Now, once it gets to be a 30 yards or more, then you're dealing with a good chunk of real estate. And you know, the mentality of the team when that happens is it's so natural to, hey, what the heck's going on? You know, how are we allowing this to happen? And so I was glad to see we didn't do that in the second half against Angelo. We didn't give up. I don't know what exactly. He's mentioned 100 yards, but their first possession, they went 17 yards. Their second possession, they lost 6. Their third tackle for a loss, we scored the 76 yards. Then we recovered the fumble. Then we put the ball on the 2-yard line, and there were 3 plays. Then we went 6 plays and out. Then we put the ball back down the 2-yard line in the punting game. So, I mean, once you get down to that 2-yard line with your butt to the goal line, your offense is limited, and you don't have your full playbook. And you know, we scored back to back, and we caused a fumble and recovered it, and then the offense puts it in, and then the next thing they know, they're down on the 2-yard line. I mean, those are 3 game changers in itself, right there. That mentality, like I like to say, is you put the nail in the coffin, and it's hard to get out of that.
You know, I want to get back to Dylan, but while you're talking about it, Fernando Piedra has turned into a valuable player for you as a punter. And I think people always kind of look at punters and don't look at them as real football players, but they can make a difference to dictate field position, and Fernando's been doing that. You've got to be really proud of what you've seen from him.
He has done a phenomenal job. He came into us as a place kicker, and he was in competition with others, and he never really got an opportunity. And then, you know, based upon what he'd been doing in practice, and also that our starting punter was out for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, Fernando came in and took advantage of the opportunity and has done a phenomenal job. I mean, he's putting the ball. Well, this last game, he had a 70-yard punt, and he averaged 42 yards. I think he had a couple, 34-yarder and a 35-yarder in there. But, you know, he's also put a 45-yarder in there and 40. I mean, he's putting the ball out of commission so that they're not able to get a good return. So, and then on top of that, he's kicking off. I mean, one of the times we put him back was, and he's when we kicked off into the left side of our end, into the left, as we cover down to the left side, and they muffed it at the 2-yard line and went out of bounds. Which, you know, if it had gone out of bounds without him touching it, then they'd have got it on 25, but it didn't, or 35, I'm sorry. But it didn't. And they had to take it at the 2, and that's just, you know, just like I say, the 2 times they were down there, they had the first time they had 3 plays and 0 yards. The second time they had 10 plays and it looks like 53 yards. But then on 3rd and 10, we had tackle for a loss, and and all of a sudden they got a long yardage, fourth yardage or fourth down situation, and they lose the downs, and then it's game.
And getting back to Dylan, one of the reasons it was game is because he played so well through the five touchdown passes. You mentioned a moment ago you think there's still room for improvement. Where do you think Dylan can get better?
Well, I think if you watch it Saturday night, when he gets his feet set, regardless of where he's throwing the ball, he's pretty accurate, and he's got a strong arm to begin with. When he doesn't get his feet set, then he's not nearly as accurate, and the ball sails a little bit or it drops a little bit. So, we're Coach Mortenberg's working really hard and trying to get his feet set. And as long as he's been here, he gets his feet set. He's always been a pretty good passer. But I just think he hadn't played a lot of football. He played some as a freshman year at Arizona State, and I don't know how much more he played after that. And then we got him in January of 20, and he played five practices in the COVID spring. And then we had 12 practices last fall, and then last spring he didn't play at all. And so, I think just the more he plays, the more comfortable he gets, and the more knowledgeable he becomes. And, he's got a rocket arm. I mean, he can throw it long ways. And as a matter of fact, in the first two games, he overthrew those deep balls.
Yeah, he sure did.
This last game, he was able to get guys on the money. So, I just think that the more he plays, the more he's going to improve his game, which in turn is going to improve us as an offense.
And I wouldn't describe him as a running quarterback, but he seems like he's willing to run, and he does well when he's on the move.
Yeah, I'd echo that. We haven't ran him a lot in the running game. He in practice he does well in that. We just haven't put him in those situations very much. But he throws the ball well on the run. And whether he's scrambling or we're rolling out right or left, he has the ability to put the ball in the money. And the thing that I think that he's doing more so than ever, he's seeing the field. And I think that comes with experience. The more you play, the more you see and feel. And that's one area that I think he's really gotten better at.
It seems like he's having a lot of success on that rollout or that waggle, whatever you want to call it. Do you think he's seeing the field better on those plays?
We've got a couple of different ways of getting outside, but on the rollout, we have a half roll, we have a full sprint out. I think he knows where his receivers are supposed to be. So when he's rolling out and he gets his head back around, he can scan the field based upon the reads that are set up in that individual play. And if he gets pressure and has to run around the pressure, he's capable of doing that. If he doesn't get pressure and he pulls up and he knows he's throwing either front side or backside, just gets him out of the pocket a little bit and gives you a little bit more time to throw the ball.
And he's protecting the ball. He's not throwing interceptions. It doesn't even seem like he's coming close to throwing interceptions.
Well, that's the plan to every game. No turnovers. And we told him last Saturday, before we went out, that the way to win the ball game is not to beat ourselves. And, right now we're at about 6 or 7 penalties a game, and we can keep it. And I told him we had 7, I think, last week, and I said, we got to keep it under 6. Keep it under 6, and the defense gets better, and the offense gets better, and the kicking game gets better, then we're going to be a better football team as we roll from week to week.
This week you've got Eastern New Mexico. Is this usually when we face Eastern New Mexico, we're talking about a team that likes to run the football. Is that kind of what you're expecting to see this week?
No. When we play Eastern, we're flex bone, a wishbone type.
Right.
And their coach left and took a job down in South Texas in high school. And they brought in a coach from Shepherd University, and he likes to throw the ball. And I think he's doing a good job of blending wishbone offensive linemen who are basically on the track, blocking down, to now that they've got to block areas and people on the move instead of just always blocking down. And pass protection is a big thing. You know, when on the wishbone, your every pass is designed to look like a run. So you're always firing out. Well, now you're setting back, and none of these offensive linemen have done that for the last 10, 15 years. So they've kind of changed philosophies, and they're playing with a freshman quarterback who's got a good arm, looks like he's a good field manager, and I think that he's getting better in the three games that he's played. New system, and trying to balance their passing game with their running game.
Defensively, what is Eastern New Mexico? What challenges do they present for you?
Well, they're very aggressive with their linebackers and safeties. I think their defensive ends and guys that just, you know, try to attack the tackles and but the linebackers play fast, flow downhill every play. And they're going to come after you on third down, or the closer you get to the goal line.
Coach, do you remember how to get to Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, I think we haven't been there in 3 weeks, so I think we can figure it out.
It is kind of interesting that you had to play three games away from home. You're coming home 3-0. I know it's nice to be home, but it's really nice to be home at 3-0. I know as a coach, you think you can win every game, but this has got to be even better than you expected. And I realize that a coach doesn't look at it this way, but on paper, it seems like you've got a really tough part of your season in the rearview mirror, and you haven't even played a home game yet.
Well, yeah, it might be, but I mean, every game, you know, in the eyes of the public, is exactly what you said. Is that, you know, the Commerce and Angelo were both rated 1 and 2 in the conference, and we were able to have success against them on the road. But every game that you play is a tough game, regardless of how and when you play. And it's not. I know Jerry Johnson called last week, and he said that he's a big PCU fan, and as well as A&M fan. And he listens to Patterson down there. Patterson said it's tough to be 2-0, and I guess PCU was 2-0, and now they're probably 3-0. And then he texted me after the game. He says, "But you know, I told you it was tough to be 2-0, but it's even harder to be 3-0." Well, the next phase is going to the next number, and that's going to be just as hard or harder. And I think a lot like sudden change is the mentality that we approach individually as players, offense, defense, special teams, as we approach their respective groups. And how we, as a team, approach this ball game.
Is the fact that it's the home opener, does it help with that mentality? Because I know your guys want to play well in front of the home crowd.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this weekend with family weekend, and we should have a good crowd, and it's blackout, and I think getting home is a good thing, and we like it playing at home in front of our own crowd. But I think I've mentioned this before. When we're on the road, there are no distractions. You're you're all together in a motel, you're eating all your meals together, you're doing all your meetings together, and everything on the outside is not around you. Now, when you come back home, at this level, we don't stay at a motel on the night before the ball game. So wherever these kids stay, let's say that if they're living in a dorm or apartment, well, there's a lot of those kids that are going to go out and they're going to be loud, and music's going to be loud. The kids may not get the rest that they need. We don't eat as well at home as we do on the road. A lot of our players don't have meal plans. And so they get by and eat what they can eat during the course of the week. And then on the weekend, when we're out of town, then they're getting three meals a day. And we just eat better. And then even though we're in somebody else's in the motel and somebody else's bed, we're still getting more rest, and we're together, and the bonding and the chemistry and the camaraderie of being with each other is you can't buy that anywhere. I mean, it's just awesome. And same thing with the coaches. It's, you know, they get on that bus and they get a chance. They've been working, you know, till midnight every night, and then all of a sudden you get on the bus, you put on a movie, and you head back and you rest a little bit. So there's pluses and minuses. And for the players, I think the distractions of being at home are greater than they are on the road.
Coach, you mentioned how tough it is to be 2-0 or 3-0. If you win on Saturday, you'll be 4-0 for the 11th time in your 20 seasons here. You're 60-10 in the month of September, so you're certainly accustomed to good starts. What's the key to a good start?
Well, I think your foundation of coming in shape. I can speak for this team, and there's been 19 other teams that I probably can't remember exactly every situation, but I think this team was committed during the summer. There was 62 returners that were here the first session of summer school, and then we brought in about 25 freshmen and then another 15 to 20 upperclassmen. And so we had over 100 kids here the second session of summer school working out with our strength coach. So there again, you've got no school. So that means that the kids don't have any other obligation unless they're going to class, taking summer school, or they have a job. But, you know, they're going to the pool and they're hanging out together and working out together and weight room and out in the sun and all the running. And so we came in really good shape. And we had a really good fall camp, I thought. We had a mini camp, if you will, back in the fall of 20. And we tried to implement what we do that we normally do, but because of COVID, it just didn't fall right. And this year we got back into a routine, and I think that's been helpful of just knowing that this is what we do on this day, knowing what we do on that day. And the kids worked hard. I've been impressed with our work ethic. I've been impressed with our mentality and I think we're going to get better each week as the season goes along. And that's critical too, because, you know, like I say, regardless of who we're playing, the next opponent is always ready to play Midwestern. And, we went from week one of Division II Radiance in the AFCA coaches poll, where we had zero votes. And then all of a sudden, we upset Commerce and we opened a couple eyes, and then we beat Angelo, and Angelo was rated, and not that I've put a lot of stock in ratings, but opposing teams do. And so, you know, last week we were rated behind Angelo, and the week before we weren't rated at all behind Commerce. And I don't think we're even rated. Last week, going into the Angelo game, we weren't. Angelo was 20th, and we weren't even rated. And then we went all of a sudden from the, maybe we're rated 20 last week.
Yeah, they were ranked 17th last week, and you were ranked 20th. And now you're up to number 15 in the polls. And if they're going to have these polls, it's good to see Midwestern State in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. It's good for recruiting. It's good for our players' confidence. And but what our players, we want them to understand is we're not where we want to be. And to get where we want to be, we got to keep pounding the nail and making sure it's important to us and focus on our responsibilities and then go do it.
How's your leg, Coach?
Getting better. Getting better. Had my second rehab this week, and I got another one Friday, and I wasn't as good today on it as I was a week ago. A week ago, I moved that 4 pound weight pretty fluid. Today, I had, for whatever reason, I struggled.
You're getting around on that scooter pretty good. I see you every once in a while standing up on it.
Yeah, I got it. My wife didn't like that. She said, she said, you can't do that. I said, well, I'm just going to do what's natural. I'm not going to plan on doing anything. And she got a flag for it, and we forgot to put the flag on it. Because I don't need that flag. And she says, well, yeah, you need it because you're lower than everybody, and everybody needs to see that you're down there. You know, so we had it for the first two games. We didn't have it for this last game, so I'm sure we'll have it going this next game, hopefully.
And we'll be at Memorial Stadium Saturday night. Hope to see you there. Remember, you've got to get your tickets online. There's not going to be any walk-up sales for the game, but we're hoping for a big crowd. It's blackout. You like the black jerseys, Coach?
Yeah. I like our jerseys all the way across the board. I think that we got tough uniforms, and I think that any uniform we put together is sharp, and the black is. I'll never forget when we got the black. I can't remember what year it was, but it was down at Kingsville, and we put them on the bus and didn't tell anybody about them. And it had to be when Coach Natkin was here, and like I said, and he's been gone a long time. But we, my then Coach Harris, handled the equipment. But I said, what should we do? And he said, why don't you put that jersey on and put your jacket over it? And this is like the second game of the year, the third game. And Kingsville was getting better. And so I called them all into the gym, and I started talking. And then I ripped my jacket off and the jersey, and they just erupted. And that's exactly what we wanted to get them excited about, playing the game. And this was right when we got, as soon as we got there, we put them in the gym and sat them all down. And so they like the black jerseys. And we really, the reason, that, obviously Nike's been involved in all these colors of jerseys, but what it does is it allows us to, our uniforms to have longer life because we're not wearing the red and the.
Oh, that's a good point.
All the time. We're particularly the pants. I mean, we've had we've got a new set of reds and a new set of whites, but the first set that we got was back like in 2011. And generally you're going to get 4 years out of a set and you got to buy another set. We've gotten a little bit longer life out of it. And now that you're on turf, you're not getting as much grass stain, but you're getting all the dark pebble stain, from the rubber.
Yeah.
I think our kids will be excited. We have more black this year, so it'll be a neat thing.
It'll be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. And Coach, we look forward to visiting with you next week, and glad to spend some time with you here on the Same Gang Podcast.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
That's head football coach Bill Maskell. You've been listening to the Same Gang Podcast.